In a news conference last night marking his first year in office, President Biden said the nation will not go back to closing schools. But some schools have closed during this Omicron wave. When Biden was pressed on that, he pushed back.
Very few schools are closing. Over 95% are still open. So you all phrase the questions when people, I don't think it's deliberate on your part, but you phrase the question of anybody who watches this on television. My God, there must be all those schools must be closing. What are we going to do?
Biden did acknowledge that school closings could be used as a political weapon against Democrats in the midterm elections in November. And to talk more about that, we're joined by two political strategists. Jason Rowe is former executive director of the Republican Party in Michigan. He's now a consultant to Republican congressional candidate Tom Barrett. Hi, Jason.
Hi, how are you?
Great. And Adrian Heeman is CEO and chairman of Grassroots Midwest. He's a Democrat. Welcome to the show, Adrian.
Thanks for having me.
Yes. And Adrian, let's start with you. Did Biden say the right things last night on school closings?
I mean, I don't think it was bad. I think he could have done a little bit more. I think he made the essentially correct point. Most schools are open. But the reason that he was addressing this in the speech at all is because Democrats realize that they've got a problem on their hands with this issue, which he acknowledged in his speech.
Well, talking about that issue, Jason, criticizing school closures in part helped Republican Glenn Youngkin win the Virginia governor's race last year. Democratic pollster Brian Stryker found that swing voters in Virginia blamed Democrats for changing and inconsistent policies on school closures, which at times didn't seem to follow science. I mean, parents were really angry about this. How angry are they now? What are you hearing?
Well, I think that hits the nail on the head. You know, teachers at the beginning of the vaccination rollout, you know, teachers demanded that they be at the front of the line because of the exposure they believed they had. And everybody gladly gave them their place in line. And then after they got the vaccinations, the schools shut down anyway. And, you know, one of the things that I think came out of this is we have parents now that were forced because of school, you know, in-person learning being shut down, got more involved in the classroom and in what was going on in the schools. And when they started to raise their voice and complain, they were marginalized and attacked and told that they don't have a voice. And so I think, you know, we saw that come to fruition in Virginia, as you point out. But I think parents are very angry right now, and I think we're going to see a lot of that over the next year.
On the political front, is this an opportunity for Republicans in your state of Michigan?
Oh, I think absolutely. I mean, when you think about you have now some very engaged parents who are either running for school board themselves or supporting people who are, they're not going to take no for an answer anymore. And they're going to go through whoever they need to get their kids' lives back. And right now, the people that are standing in their way are teachers' unions and the Democrats, and they have been allied on this. And so the Democrats may figure out what they've done, but it might be too little too late.
Adrian, your thoughts on what he's saying here, that Democrats are standing in the way?
You know, I think that that's a little overblown. I mean, you look at, you know, some of the most egregious school closure examples in the country, Chicago being the one that sticks out, I think, to most people. The teachers' union there was doing battle with the Democratic mayor. And I do think that there's a little bit of confusion in how this issue is talked about, where you know, a lot of the school closures that have happened and continue to happen are not the responsibility of the teachers' unions. They're the responsibility of the local school districts. And to a certain extent, that's appropriate. Jason's right that there is a massive political opportunity for Republicans here. But I think that the flip side of that is there's an opportunity for Republicans to overplay their hand. People like their local schools. They generally trust their school administrators. And so I think that they're, you know, Republicans have got a live issue that they can use in elections this year. There have been some missteps from Democrats. We just had one locally here with, you know, this deleted Twitter post from the Michigan Democratic Party that was essentially saying outright that parents don't really have a role in the curriculum for their children in local schools. And people were outraged about that, I think rightly.
Well, how do Democrats remedy that?
I think they have to lean into local schools, right? People generally like their local school districts. They like, again, this notion of having some control over what's going on in the classroom. I think to the extent that Republicans try to nationalize, federalize issues of school closures and curriculum involvement, that that would be a political mistake for them. You know, local control is where the win is for either party here.
Jason, your candidate, Tom Barrett, is running against one of the most vulnerable Democrats in Congress, Alyssa Slotkin. How much do you want him to talk about school closings?
Well, I think it's a top of mind issue for starters. It's one of, I think, the key issues that matters to the electorate. And parents, like I said, are more engaged than they've ever been and are more aware of what's happening in the schools. But I think in part to Adrian's point, you know, this does remain a local control issue. And I think, you know, the savvy Democrats in this situation, and I would give Whitmer credit for being savvy by not taking a position one way or the other and leaving it up
Michigan
to local
governor.
Jurisdictions.
Yeah, Michigan Governor Whitmer.
To make those decisions is a good way to avoid having to, you know, overly alienate one side or the other. But I think it's something that as a candidate, he's going to give voice to because, you know, right now it is Democrats that I think contributed to the situation. And I do think there's more of a union influence in some of these decisions than Adrian's comments would reveal. And, you know, those right now are the people standing in the way or at least defending a lot of these things. It's not the Republicans. And so might not be that they're running into Republicans' arms. It might be that they're running away from the party that they see as being responsible for some of these policies.
Well, Adrian, to that point, I mean, there was this recent article in New York Magazine that argues that progressives are starting to see school closures during the pandemic as a historic blunder. Children, especially disadvantaged ones, suffered the most, and most faced few adverse health effects from COVID-19, which were fears that parents had. Are progressives looking back with deep regret?
Yes, is the answer, right? I think people were, a lot of folks, not just progressives, right, but I think elites in general were way too flippant about how easy it would be to do remote learning. Right. You know, if you have a comfortable job and you can work remotely and, you know, you've got a number of advantages in life, it's a nuisance. Right. It's an inconvenience, but it's not going to blow your life up. That's simply not true for a lot of working class people.
Bernie Sanders' aide Elizabeth Pancotti tweeted this pushback from the progressive side that those who dismiss legit concerns about teacher-child health risks are largely those with remote work options and resources for alternative child care arrangements. This is interesting because I'm just wondering from you, Adrian, if you feel like this is a message that might break through.
No, I don't. I think that Senator Sanders' staffer has it exactly wrong. If the Democrats lean into a messaging strategy built around that, they'll pay for it dearly.
Well, and if I could add, it's difficult for, I think, parents to believe what that aide said when they see football stadiums and basketball arenas packed full of people not wearing masks, when we know statistically at this point, you know, more than a year and a half into this pandemic, that these children are the least vulnerable to sickness and to serious risk, and yet they're the only ones in society that are mandated to wear masks or to stay home.
Jason, you resigned from leading the Michigan Republican Party under pressure from supporters of former President Trump because you didn't go along with Trump's claims that voter fraud cost him the election. Is it a tactic, maybe a wise one, for Republicans to hammer on school closures to kind of distract from Trump himself?
Well, if Republicans want to win in 2022, the first advice I'd give them is to quit litigating 2020. It's over. We are now closer to the 2022 election than we are the 2020 election. So to me, it is aiding and abetting the Democratic Party going into the election to continue to talk about these things.
Both of you sound very much aligned on this topic of school closures and public health and safety. I mean, it feels like this is a nonpartisan issue, and yet we are talking about it in such a partisan way. What is the path forward? I want to hear from both of you on this idea. Let's start with you, Adrian.
You know, I think like most issues in our politics that have become divided around sort of hyper-partisan lines, the solutions are back in our communities. And I really think that that's where the rubber meets the road here. We need to empower local school districts and local communities to make choices for families and for kids that make sense for them. We've demonstrated amply over the last several years that our national politics is bad at solving big problems. So we're going to have to do it in our own communities.
Jason.
I wish I shared Adrian's optimism that we can improve things. I think we're so balkanized right now and so tribal that, and we keep focusing on all the things that divide us and subdivide us, that I think it's going to be very difficult for us to return to kind of a collective, we're all in this together, and that we agree on the same set of facts, and we generally agree that this is what our society should look like. We're not in that place. And the children have become pawns, I think, in a larger debate about, you know, the future of our communities at the local and at the national level.
Jason Rowe is the former executive director of the Republican Party in Michigan, and Adrian Heeman is CEO and chairman of Grassroots Midwest. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
My pleasure.